Welcome to the Torati Mechanach Yomi with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Leah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. This perek begins, as so many in Shoftim do, with Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael asos hara b'nei Hashem, and the Jewish people continue to do evil in the eyes of Hashem, Va'ehud meis, and Ehud, the last Shofet that we spoke about, had died. It doesn't mention Shamgar, who we ended the perek with, the last perek with, probably because there was no real salvation in his day. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, we are introduced to the villains. There's the king of Canaan, whose name was Yavin, who lived in the rebuilt city of Chatzor, which had been destroyed by Yehoshua, now it's named Cherosheth HaGoyim, with Sisra, who was his general. These are the bad guys. In Pasuk Gimel, we see that B'nai Yisrael cry out. They cry out for three reasons. Ve'yitzaku B'nai Yisrael el Hashem. The Jewish nation cries out to Hashem. Ki tsha me'ais rechav barzalai. Because he had 900 rechav barzal. He had 900 steel iron chariots. This is the ancient equivalent of Iran's nuclear bomb. It is a huge army that he had. V'hu lachatz es B'nai Yisrael b'chaska. And then the second thing is that there was a spiritual threat here as well. He didn't just push B'nai Yisrael, pressure B'nai Yisrael, stress B'nai Yisrael, but Chazal say there were chirufin v'gidufin against Hashem. He blasphemized against God. And so there was a spiritual problem here too. And then thirdly, Esrim Shana. This lasted for 20 years. It was a long time. In Pasuk Dalet, we are introduced to the Savior. And this is something very unusual, unprecedented, not just in the Sefer, but in Jewish history. Udvora Isha Neviya, Devorah was a prophetess, this we do have, prophetesses. She was Eshes Lapidus, she was the wife of Lapidus, who we will talk about, that name. He Shafta Es Yisrael Be'esahi, and she was the judge of Yisrael at that time, and this is something highly unusual. And everybody wants to understand why. We know that there were men there were qualified men. For example, we met Pinchas ben Elazar in Perek Beis. He could have been the suitable candidate, but Hashem chooses Devorah, a woman. Why? And this is something we're going to discover. She has a special schus, a special merit, and a special quality as a woman, an Aim Bi Yisrael, a mother in Yisrael that was specifically needed at this time. For a hint, we look at the name of her husband, not as his name, but as a description of who he is and who she is. Eshes Lapidus, she was the wife of Lapidus. Lapidus is a torch. Metzudas David said, she was an Eshes Chayel Zriza b'ma'aseh k'lapid Esh. She was a woman who was quick in her actions. An Eshes Chayel, quick in her actions like a torch. And the Malbim says also, Shayub ma'aseh b'zrizos v'hislavos, with a lot of enthusiasm. But besides being a description of her, was he a real person? Was there a real person whose name was Lapidus? Some say he was Barak. Barak we're going to meet soon. He's going to be the general of Devorah's army. And Barak means lightning. So we see the connection. And perhaps he was the same person. Not everyone agrees on that. But according to Chazal, they give us a tremendous insight. She was a great woman and a prophetess, a Neviah, but she had a husband who was an Am Haaretz. He was not a learned man. And imagine the scene, the sight of this woman who was so brilliant and so capable, whose husband was not. And she could have looked down on him and she could have continued on with her life. And instead, she wants to encourage his spiritual growth. And the way she does it is she makes wicks. And she tells him, bring these wicks to the Mishkan. And when he brought the wicks to the Mishkan, and while he was there, he would be exposed to the holiness, to the Kedusha of the Mishkan, and those who were there, and would be inspired to continue to go back, and to continue to bring those wicks, and by that become a better and better person. And Chazal asked, Mizachalai l'Lapidus, who merited Lapidus, that he should have a chelak im haksherim, with the holy people, with the righteous people, v'yavol l'chaye ha'olam haba, and merit the world to come. And the answer they give is Devorah ishto, Devorah his wife. A woman can build a home, chachmas nashim bansebesa. The brilliance of Devorah, not to put him down, not to berate him, but to give him a job, to make him productive, and to give him a job in a place where he was going to be influenced by the Kedusha around them. And the lesson for us, use your talents, whatever you have, to glorify Hashem. But not only that, look at others and see what you can do to bring it out in them to be Mekadoshim Hashem. She looks for ways to raise him. Her goal was Kiddush Hashem, and it didn't matter through whom, through herself, through her husband, and through Klal Yisrael. And this is why she's the right person for this time. Ba'es Hahi, the Pasuk says, at this time, they needed someone to raise them all. And her name, Devorah, is connected to speech, Dibur, the defining factor of a Neviah and as a prophetess. As well, it is a bee, Devorah translates as bee, which is connected to her sting, the fitting antidote to the sting of Sisra's Cherufim v'Gidufim, blasphemizing against Hashem. And of course, the honey, the sweetness for her nation and the people, the sting for those around her. Pasuk Hey, Vihi Yosheves Tachas Tomer Devorah. She sat under a palm tree. It was called Tomer Devorah. Why? We give a few reasons. One is there's an Isur of Yichud, meaning she's going to be passing judgment, but she can't be in a room alone with a person, even though the halachas later of Yichud of a Pnuya is going to come. If someone who's not married will come later, but here she's a married woman, so it had to be a tree that had few branches that people could look at. That would be the practical reason. But in the Gemara, it says, Ma tomer zeh tzilo mu'at. This tomer has very little shade. And the Talmidei Chachamim in that generation were very few. We didn't have many Talmidei Chachamim to shade us. However, contrary to this, and I guess complementing it, Ma tomer zeh ein lei ella lev echad. A tomer only has one heart. What it means is there's a concentration of sap in a date palm tree that comes all together. Af Yisrael, what she was able to accomplish was that the Jewish nation at that time, Ein lahem ela lev echad la'avihim shebashamayim. She manages to rally the Jews in that generation to also have one heart to Avihim shebashamayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve Hashem with one heart. What does it mean to have one heart? It means that often our head knows the truth, but our heart is blocked, or our heart wants to go in 10,000 different directions. And she managed to concentrate the efforts to say, we do want to serve Hashem. We do want to be a Torah nation. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vatishlach Vatikra LeBaruch Ben Avinoam. And she goes and she calls to Baruch Ben Avinoam, Mikedesh Naphtali. He's going to be her general, and he comes from Naphtali. And she says to him, Haloi tziva Hashem lekei Yisraelach. Hashem says to you, Lech umashachta bahar tavar. Go and pull from har tavar velakachta imcha, and take with you 10,000 men from Naphtali and from Zvulun. Why is she taking specifically from these tribes? Perhaps these were the tribes who were most impacted by Yavin and by Sisra. Also, another way of understanding it is that these people are supporters of Torah. Naphtali had helped Yaakov by telling him that Yosef was alive, and also Zvulun supports the Torah learning of Yisachar. The activity of supporting Torah learning requires a measure of selflessness, since the person who's supporter, the benefactor, foregoes the pleasure of the full-time learning himself. Their beneficiaries enjoy the riches of this pursuit and of learning and becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are people, the supporters of Torah are Moser Nefesh. They sacrifice in a different way. They are providing the funds and the means for those who are learning. In Pasuk Zion, in verse 7, Umashachti Elecha al Nachal Kishon Esisra. I will pull to you, this is Devorah giving a nevuah, I will pull to you, to Nachal Kishon, Sisra. Sisra had to be pulled into the fight. He had seen in astrology that he wasn't going to win, so he didn't want to go. He also did it in a nonsensical way to bring his entire army to a narrow Nachal, to a narrow river basin. And the reason that Hashem wanted that to happen is to have a total victory in one place. But it was something where Hashem had to say, I will draw to you to Nachal Kishon Sisra. I'm going to make sure that he gets there. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Vayomer Eleha Barak. And Barak says to her, no, look, you're the leader. I need you to come with me. Im telchi imi vahalachti. If you come with me, I'll go. V'im lai telchi imi, lai elech. But if you don't come with me, I won't go. It might seem like a lack of bitachon, but closer examination shows us that it's not so. What he was saying was, if you come with us, we will have your schus with us, we will have your merit. He understands, of course, that Dvorah cannot possibly help in the physical fighting of the war. It's only because he recognized her great contribution as the shofetes and the leader of the generation. He also wanted it to be clear to everyone that the final victory was a nace, was a miracle, and it should be credited to serving Hashem through her, that she was the conduit. He was meant to be the hero here, and yet he made himself the tuffel, he made himself under her in order to make sure that the credit goes where it's meant to. Pasuk Tes, and she says to him, I'll come with you if you want, but you should know you're not going to end up with any glory on this path that you're going, because Sisera is going to be killed by a woman. We're going to meet this woman, because it's not Devorah, it's another woman, but you're not, there are two ways that your general could get his name. One is that you go to war without fear, which you're not doing, because you're asking me to come, and the other is that you kill the opponent, which I'm not, you're not going to do either, I'm prophesizing. However, but if you want me to come, I'm happy to come with you, and she does. Now we're going to meet somebody else in the story, another person. The Chever HaKeni, there's going to be a family of Chever HaKeni, Nifran Mikain Mibnei Chovav Chosen Moshe, who moves away from the rest of his family. He's from the descendants of Yisro. When he sees the trouble brewing, he feels like he can be helpful. And he moves his tent closer to the battlefield. And we're going to see why this becomes very, very important soon. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, so we have Barak, who is the general on the Jewish side, with Devorah there too. We have Sisera, who is the general on the Kanaani side. He is the general of Yavin. And in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Sisera brings his entire army, hundreds of thousands of people, 900 chariots, to fight in Nachal Kishon. Pasuk Yud Dalet, 14. Vatomer Devorah al Barak. And Devorah says to Barak, Kum, get up. This is the day that Hashem has given Sisera in your hands. Halay Hashem Yatzal Lefanecha. Hashem has already gone out before you. Kum, she has to tell him, get up. When he saw the big army, he gets scared, and she says, no, get up, don't be scared, go to the mountain to fight him. Hashem has already taken care of it, as we see in Pasuk Tesvav, in verse 15. Vayom Hashem es Sisera v'eskol harecha v'eskol hamachana l'fi cherev. And by the time he gets there, Hashem has already fought him, Hashem has already taken the whole camp, and he's made them feel like something has gone on. He's totally discombobulated them. In the Shira, we'll see in the next parak, when Devorah is going to sing the song of praise, we'll see what happened. That the stars came to fight. That the stars moved out of their circuit and they heated up the chariots so it was too hot to sit in them. And the people got out and jumped into the river to cool themselves off, and the river grabbed them and drowned them, meaning that this was not a natural fighting that was going on. This word Vayaham of Hashem creating disturbances for the Sisera was a supernatural fight that was going on here. Lefichereb lefnei Barak, before Barak, Vayaret Sisera me'al ha'merkava, Vayanas baraglav. And Sisera, when he sees that his army has fallen apart, he gets off and he runs away, baraglav, with his feet. We'll talk about it in a minute. Barak had to go. Barak had to stand up. Barak had to start. This is the trick of Hishtadlus also. It's trying even when there's not much hope or not even much reason to try. There is no contradiction between doing Hishtadlus, starting, trying, and the Amuna and Bitochon that a person has to have. Hishtadlus in the right way, like Barak was doing it, is a manifestation of Amuna. Barak manages to wipe out the remainder of the army that was running away, and Sisera was the only one who remained. And like we said, Vayanas Baraglav, and he runs with his feet. And it seems obvious that he ran with his feet. Where else would he run? Would he run with his, we run with his arms? But what it means is he runs with his feet means that he lost his head. When you say he ran with his feet, it means that he just, without thinking, he goes and he runs. V'sisra nasbara glav, pasuk yod zayin, 17. He ran with his feet and he lands up. Without putting much thought, in the tent of Ya'al Eshes Chever HaKeni. And he runs into the tent of this Ya'al Eshes Chever HaKeni. And Ya'al comes out to greet him in Pasuk Yiches 18 and says, Sura Adoni, Sura Eli, come to me, don't fear me, Al Tira, don't be scared, come into my tent. V'techaseu b'smicha. And she covers him with a blanket. And he says to her, he asks her, Hashkini na ma'atmaim, please give me a little bit of water, I'm very, very thirsty. Instead of giving him water, she opens up her canteen, not hachalav, she opens up the bottle of milk, and she gives him milk, and she covers him. Vayomer elaha, and he says to her, Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Amoid Pesach ha'oil, please stand by the entrance of the gate, and if a man comes and says, Hayesh po ish, is there a person here? V'amart ayin, and you should tell him, no. Now, it's unclear what happens in the interim, whether something else went on here in the tent or not, with Ya'al and with Sisera. But this is the story as we have it in the Psukim here. And what we understand is that Sisera must have fallen asleep. And by giving him milk instead of water, milk creates drowsiness, and she gets him to fall asleep here. Vatikach Ya'al Eshes Chever HaKeni, Es Eshes Chever, and Ya'al, the wife of Chever, takes the Yased HaOhel, it's the tent pin, the pin that was holding down the tent. Vatasam Es HaMakeves B'yada, and she takes the top of it, and she's holding it in her hand. Vatavai Elav Balat, and she comes to him in secret, quietly. Vatiska Es HaYased B'rakasai, and she takes the tent peg and she slams it into his forehead, vatitznach ba'aretz, and he collapses on the ground, v'hu nirdam, and he was sleeping, v'ya'af, and he was exhausted, v'yamos, and he died. Ya'al comes out as one of the greatest heroines in our history. She is called Ya'al. Ya'al is a kind of animal who lives in the mountain with strong, short legs. He has the ability to jump and to hold on to the ridges of the rock. He can hide in his surroundings. What a brave, what a daring thing Ya'al did when she invited Sisera into her tent and to take a tent peg and to kill him. Ya'al milashon mo'il, to'eles, helpful. She was able to help Klal Yisrael at a very, very desperate time. She's going to be called, as we're going to see in the next week's parak, Tevorach Menashim Ya'al. Ya'al should be blessed by the woman, or perhaps even more than the woman. Which woman? The woman that were in their tents. So we could be talking about the Jewish woman, or we could even be talking about the Imahais, who are all called Nashim Sheba'ohel, women who were in the tent. She was a woman in her tent who saved the Jewish nation. Just to end off the war with Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, V'hinei Baruch Radaf Sisera, and Baruch is chasing Sisera, V'tete Ya'al L'krasai, and Ya'al comes out to greet him, V'tamer Lei, Lech V'areka Se'isha Shera Tam V'kesh, please come, I want to show you the person that you are looking for, V'yavo Eleha, V'hinei Sisera Nafel Meis, V'yated Barakasai, and she comes and he sees Sisera is lying on the floor dead, and this tent peg is in his forehead. And Hashem subjugated Yavin, the king of Canaan, before Bnei Yisrael at this time. And what a reversal of roles, whereas it was the Canaanim who were pressuring and stressing Bnei Yisrael. Now Bnei Yisrael have the upper hand, and they are able to totally destroy Yavin, the king of Canaan. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Shenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleha Mashalom, Nishot Chayel, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avot, and Gvilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael, Nina and Chaim Shenker.